Morning, everyone. So as we continue our way through the Advent season, as I've said over the course of the last 2 weeks, Advent is a time of joyful anticipation, right? A time of preparation that's filled, entrenched with both joy and anticipation. And today we find ourselves at the halfway point of Advent, or beyond the halfway point of Advent, with this third Sunday of Advent. This third Sunday, which we call Gaudete Sunday, right? And it's for that very reason that I wear this very fashionable pink vestment today. I think I pull it off, but that remains to be seen. But rose, right, pink, that's the color of joy. Again, why Pepto-Bismol is the symbol of joy is beyond me. I guess if you have bad enough indigestion, I could understand. But nonetheless, that's what we celebrate today. We celebrate this Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete, which means rejoice. And entrenched in the entirety of our liturgy, what we'll hear today is a resounding theme, a resounding hymn of joy. And in fact, if you look at the readings today, no less than a dozen times is that word rejoice, joy, echoed. So what is it? What is it that we have to be joyful for? Well, I think the reason why we have such joy, the reason why Advent is a time of joyful anticipation, is because Advent is a time where we focus on the Christian idea, the Christian virtue of hope. In fact, it's hope. Hope is the thing that enlivens our life. Hope is the thing that gives us joy. Hope is the thing that helps us push through the difficulty. And in fact, I would say, entrenched in every single one of our readings today and entrenched in the liturgy is this eminent idea of hope. Right, in our first reading today, right, we heard that word joy, that joyful anticipation. And I said this in my previous homilies that, you know, remember that the entirety of the Old Testament for the Israelites, that was their Advent, right? That was their time of joyful anticipation. Right from the moment that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God promised that he would send a Savior. And so the Israelite people, they had centuries upon centuries just waiting that maybe this will be the day, maybe this will be the time that our Savior comes. Maybe this will be the time that God makes good on that promise to send a Messiah. Right, the next in the Gospel, we hear St. John the Baptist. And if you've ever seen a movie depicting of St. John the Baptist, I think he gets the raw end of the deal time and time again. Because St. John the Baptist, he's always kind of portrayed as a crusty old fellow. You know, he's always seen as a guy who's preaching doom and gloom. I mean, sure, he's a little different. You know, he's out in the desert. You know, he's feeding on locusts and honey. Not exactly the most normal guy you'll ever see, sure. But to say that he's doom and gloom, that couldn't be any farther from the truth. And I'll tell you how I know that's the case. Because it said that great crowds came and followed him. Who's going to follow someone that's full of doom and gloom? Right? The reason why people came and followed John the Baptist was because he was a man of great hope. Right? John the Baptist, what was the thing that he continued to say time and time again? He would say, rejoice because your salvation is at hand. Right, John the Baptist, the last prophet, the one who did those final preparations for the coming of Christ, that was his job, was to say, now is the time to make those final preparations because your Savior, your salvation, it is now closer than ever. And then finally, in our second reading today, St. Paul, understanding who Jesus Christ was, understanding that salvation that he brought because of his redemptive act on the cross. St. Paul, him saying, rejoice, and as if that's not enough, I say it again, rejoice. Understand what Jesus Christ did for you. Understand what the purpose of the incarnation was. Right, in all three of these readings today, we see this great hope. We see this hope that God would make good and did make good on that promise to send a Savior, to send the Messiah. So that's what we focus on today in this liturgy, is the theological virtue of hope. And my friends, it is a virtue. We think that hope is just like, it's a mere feeling. It's a mere sentiment that we may have. But that couldn't be any farther from the truth. You see, when we Catholics, when we speak about the theological virtue of hope, what it is it's the choice, the conscious decision to orient everything in our lives towards that greatest good. It's orienting everything in our lives that we are oriented towards heaven itself. So it's us understanding that while there is suffering, while there are difficulties this side of heaven, we understand that we are hoping for something beyond what is merely here. We understand that the good that we are made for, that it transcends this earth. Right, it was St. Augustine who he said, right, you made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until it rests in you. Right, this idea being that for us, nothing this side of heaven, right, that statement by St. Augustine is one of great hope. It's saying that, yes, I'm not perfectly satisfied here, and I won't be perfectly satisfied here. But I have the hope, the expectation that one day that longing, that will come to fruition. Right, and it was St. Augustine who made those changes, who oriented everything about himself towards heaven. You see, my friends, I think today one of the greatest problems that we have in secular culture and society is that we are a people without hope. And life without hope is like a soul, is like a body without the soul. A life without hope is something, I mean, that's where it becomes dreary to get out of bed every single day. If we don't have hope, if we don't have hope that there's something beyond this, then what is it that we have to move us? And you see, I think our society, we understand this. And so what we've done is we've replaced the theological virtue of hope with the new secular virtue of optimism. Right? We all love an optimist. And in fact, it's not even so much that we love optimists, but we can't stand pessimists. And for good reason. But my friends, I can't put it any more bluntly than this. Hope and optimism are not the same thing. In fact, I would argue that they are on opposite ends of the spectrum. Because optimism, and we know this through and through, that optimism without heaven, it doesn't make any sense. If there is no heaven, if there is no God, we have nothing to be optimistic about. Nothing. End of story. But you see, for us as a culture, we know that as hope fades away, that there's no way for us to live this way. So what do? We have this new idea, this new virtue, secular virtue of optimism. And again, I'm going to put this as bluntly as I can, at least in my estimation. I think that the most dangerous people that walk this planet and have walked this planet have been optimists. Because the optimists, they think that, you know what, with enough economic, social, political reform, we can ring in the utopia. We can bring heaven down here to earth. That's the story of the Tower of Babel. This idea that we can build our way to heaven, right? Symbolically saying that we can make our own heaven here. And really what that's saying is that is a people who has no hope. And so what do we see? Who are the great optimists? I would argue that the great optimists of the 20th century were men who went by the name of Marx, Lenin, and Stalin. They thought that, you know what, I can build my heaven right here on earth. You know what they said? The way that you build that heaven too? Because again, inherent in the communist and the Marxist idea is this idea that there is no God. It's an intrinsically atheist philosophy. And so the idea being, if there's nothing beyond this, well, then we got to do everything that we possibly can to bring heaven here on earth. And that's where we get this saying, you got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet. And you know what cracking a few eggs meant to Marx, Lenin, and Stalin? Literally hundreds of millions of people dying. And they did that because they were optimistic. And they were optimistic because they had no hope. You see, my friends, we are not an optimistic people. We are a hopeful people. And the reason we are hopeful is because God became man, because God made good on his promise to Adam and Eve to send his son. And his son offered himself as the one true sacrifice. now giving us hope that there is something beyond this. My friends, that's what we celebrate here this third Sunday of Advent, this Gaudete Sunday. That's why we rejoice. We rejoice for the same reason that the prophet Zephaniah, that John the Baptist, that St. Paul, that all of the saints throughout history, we rejoice because we have hope. And if you look at the historians, I go back to that, the ugliness of what happened in Eastern Europe throughout the course of the 20th century. Historians say that arguably the single most important person for the fall of communism was a man who we call St. John Paul II. And the reason why he brought light to that darkness was because his biography, when his biographer wrote his biography, he called it very purposefully the witness to hope. St. John Paul II, he brought light, he brought hope to a place where there was none, and it completely changed the course of history for a continent, for the world. My friends, that's what we celebrate today. We celebrate what he brought to those people in Eastern Europe. We celebrate the fact that we are a people entrenched, filled with hope, because here in just a few short weeks, we'll celebrate the fact, the historical fact, that God became man, that he dwelt among us, and that he gave his life for us. My friends, we are not an optimistic people. We're a hopeful people. We're hopeful for the same reason that the prophet was, right? That God made good on his promise. We're hopeful for the same reason that St. Paul was, that we understood that he came not only to dwell among us, but to offer himself as a savior. And above all, we're hopeful because, as John the Baptist, as he said, not that crusty old figure. No, we're hopeful because John the Baptist, he echoed what he always did. He said, "Rejoice, for your salvation is at hand."